Shalom, mighty saints and warriors of God. Welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan, along with my favorite lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, sweetie, and blessings to you all. We will be in the book of Revelation on this election night, but first, please join us as we bless Him who made us.
O Lord, Creator of heaven and earth, we bless You, we love You, and most of all, we trust You. We acknowledge that in and of ourselves, we are nothing without You. Who else could we serve? There is no other. You alone are the supreme being over all, and one day we know we will be with You in Your new and soon coming kingdom. Until then, give us the strength and wisdom to be patient as You culminate all things according to Your timetable, not ours. We pray for the miracles amongst Your chosen as we visualize the salvations of still many more souls. We ask in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And may God bless America. Amen and amen.
Well, this day will go down in infamy.
No doubt about that. It's predicted to be a close race, and most of the polls in many states are now closing, and we won't know for sure till probably later in the week due to the extensions on counting the mail-in votes, particularly Pennsylvania, which is a crucial state for both of them.
I guess we'll have a lot to say next Tuesday.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
I do have to just say, there are so many reasons to vote for President Trump, even with his personality flaws, and so many reasons not to vote for Biden, who not only has many flaws, he is extremely corrupt, which can now be proven. And that is that he sold us out to China and other countries for monetary gain, a lot of monetary gain.
Many have already voted prior to this scandal coming to light.
True. And in reality, the progressive Dems, in my opinion, just wanted to get Biden over the finish line before too many voters could hear about it. And they have been very successful with the help of the left-winged social media, especially Twitter, who removed the New York Post's account detailing the Biden's heavy pay-to-play scheme. It's very obvious that the left-wing, long-bearded Jack Dorsey of Twitter, hopes President Trump isn't reelected.
Because laws will be changed.
Specifically Section 230, which has allowed social media free rein to censor anything they don't like and without any liability.
Huh. Sounds like that pharmaceutical bill to me.
Boy, it sure does. That was called the PREP Act, and that was signed into law by none other than President George Bush in 2005, which also provides immunity from liability on any vaccine.
Again, the Dems leader's main goal is for Kamala to take over.
And in fact, I heard someone at her speaking rally last week introduce her as President Harris.
That's true.
Then Kamala just laughed about it in her kooky laugh. But everybody knows it.
And so does Puppet Joe.
You think? But a good sign is even with Obama speaking at Biden's rallies, few have showed up. Now, should Biden fraudulently win, preachers like Franklin Graham are saying true Bible Christians will be even more persecuted, especially those businesses that refuse to serve clients who make requests against our religious beliefs. As we have been saying for quite some time now, you know, the problem we have in the world today, well, it's a sin problem. And America needs a heart transplant, and that means faith through Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, what has President Trump openly said a few times at his rallies, honey?
Not me, but Jesus Christ is the greatest one of all.
Mm-hmm. And he was lifting his hand toward heaven as he said it. I must say, at that time, while watching his acclamation, I thought surely he will win this one more time.
Well, remember, it is God who removes kings and raises up kings.
Yeah, Daniel 2:21.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, it's all according to God's timetable. And I know I say this a lot, but who else except Trump would actually be able to continue adding nations to the Middle East peace process for an eventual Daniel 9:27 covenant.
Why don't you share what you told me this morning?
Oh, that possible scenario?
Yes.
Okay. Well, just my opinion, I'm thinking. Perhaps Trump gets it all put together, you know, all the nations. Then the rapture, where he too exits with us. And then the Antichrist swoops in for that final confirmation signatures. And then the trib begins, Revelation 6.
Well, let's address that again next week.
Right. Then we can better analyze it.
Amen to that.
But American soul is on the line, and I do think Trump has it, but we'll probably be up late tonight.
You might. I'd better go to bed and just see it in the morning.
Yes. Sadly, we know for sure if the president is reelected, violence has already been planned, and it's certain to break out. You know, Biden even said if he wins, the violence will end. He's like a mafia's mob boss, and he's threatening America.
Well, more lawlessness is prophesied.
Well, that it is.
But he won't let it go on for long.
Right. Trump said that that he wouldn't let it happen. He would, you know, he would prosecute them and stuff like that. Okay, so let's move on. What else could or should we comment on?
How about the rising COVID cases?
Yes, they are rising, but the mortality rate as a whole is decreasing thanks to therapeutics.
In other words, most victims are at least recovering.
Yes, praise the Lord. And we do know President Trump will not lock down America again, but Biden, with Dr. Jesuit Fauci, his recommendation, well, they surely will.
How is Israel doing through all this?
Well, as far as COVID, they're doing better, starting to open everything back up again. On another front, an interesting piece of news, and that is that the Trump administration gave notification to our Congress on its decision to sell top-of-the-line F-35 stealth fighter jets to the UAE, that's the United Arab Emirates, as apparently was promised if they joined the accords and openly recognized Israel.
But, you know, we're not giving them to them. We're selling them to them.
Yes. And I don't know the price or what kind of deal anyone received. But we all knew that some tit-for-tat was essential. Just like Sudan, who always has been at odds with Israel, but requested to President Trump to be removed from the terrorist watch list. Trump said, okay, if you join the accords. So take it from there.
Well, you know, it's called the art of the deal.
Yes, it's the art of the deal until one of these other countries renege on their end of the deal. What happens when Trump is no longer president?
Well, with that said, Israel did initially balk at the sale.
As they should. But they soon dropped its opposition upon our guarantee of even better advanced military systems, so to preserve Israel's edge in the Middle East.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Yeah. The Arabs will acquire what they need, and then they will turn on Israel, or at the very least refuse to ally when needed. And by the way, that is biblical.
But the Arabs say though these fighter jets are for defense against Iran.
And that is also true. Mm-hmm. They say it's more a deterrent. One more thing. Turkey suffered a large 7.0 earthquake on Friday. Close to 100 were killed and many injured. Two small children were miraculously rescued after 48 hours and survived. You know, Turkey has a population of about 3 million people, but it does sit on a serious fault line, so they are more common there. Many Christians say one day one of those earthquakes will uncover Noah's Ark, as parts of it has been visualized using some kind of underground imaging.
All in God's timing.
We say that a lot, don't we?
We do. Yes, and welcome. We welcome your end-time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please tuck in a love offering to help with our expenses for airtime and all our continuing teaching resources, and may God bless you for it. As well, we'll add your name to our correspondence list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past and radio instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And it's still free.
It is. All right, there have been a couple of requests to do a summary of Revelation 12.
I know, mainly because it is referenced a lot on YouTube lately.
But often massacred.
Well, at least some verses are. First, let's do a quick run-up of the previous chapters with some background of this apocalyptic book that God gave to his servants and who will receive a special blessing to those who study it. Verse 3. We read in Revelation chapter 1, John is describing his beautiful vision of Jesus while on the island of Patmos. Then in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus is speaking to John as he explains in order the entire prophetic church age. Then, at the end of the church age in Revelation 4, John is taken up in the spirit to the throne room.
Now that, you know, is a type of the rapture.
Yeah. And to confirm, we notice that the church is no longer mentioned in Revelation until we return with him then as his wife in Revelation 19:7. Now in Revelation 5, again, John is still in heaven and he watches Jesus receive the seven sealed scroll.
We could say it's like the title deed to the earth.
For sure, because it contains specific descriptions on how the earth will begin its judgment as written down for our knowledge in Revelation 6.
Called the sealed judgments.
Which are opened one at a time by Jesus from heaven.
Which begins the tribulation on earth.
And then continues through chapter 19 when he finally returns with us. But here's what is important to know. Some chapters, as in chapter 7, for example, is what we call a, oh, by the way, chapter. Sort of like the footnotes in any book containing important information, or better called a parenthetical chapter, of which there are a few of these throughout Revelation.
But, you know, the book is chronological.
It is. It's just that once in a while it adds some additional information that has either already happened long ago or will happen at a later time. So it's like Jesus is saying, hey, by the way, you need to know this, for it will help your understanding.
Kind of like connecting the dots.
For sure. Now, as in chapter 7, which tells us, by the way, you need to know that the seals described in chapter 6 that begins the tribulation will not be opened until 144,000 Jewish servants of God are sealed for their protection, verse 3. And they are called the first fruits of the redeemed of that day, as we read in chapter 14. Also a by the way chapter.
So the 144,000 will then be saved.
Yes, immediately after the rapture. Probably through dreams and visions or typologically, as he often does, as when Elijah saw Elijah go up. Perhaps the 144,000, too, will have spiritual eyes where God allows them to see us be caught up.
Chapter 8 and 9 are mainly the trumpet judgments.
Yes, and then chapter 10, John eats the bitter, sweet scroll, anticipating the final and worst bowl judgments in chapters 15 and 16. So, tucked in between are chapters 11 through 14, which you could say are more of those by the way kind of chapters, of which in our main topic for tonight is chapter 12, which needs proper hermeneutics and some knowledge of our Jewish roots.
Well, chapter 12 is more of a skinny overview of Israel from her beginning.
Yes. When Jacob's name was changed to Israel and all the way forward to the midpoint of the tribulation, where God protects them in the wilderness from the Antichrist. For now, by this time, they have the testimony of Jesus Christ,
as told to us in verse 17.
Mm-hmm. And the verses in chapter 12 are more understandable if taken in sections, because there are significant gaps of time between a few verses.
Like different theaters going on in chapter 12.
Good way of putting it. And once you see it, it makes total sense as to why we need to know certain information for a better understanding. Okay, so chapter 12, verse 1, John, still in the spirit, sees this.
Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars.
This is not Mary, as Catholics assume. Remember, Scripture interprets Scripture, and we can verify that the woman described is Israel from Genesis 37, 9 and 10, because of Joseph's dream where the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to him. Joseph, who is a type of Jesus, recalled the dream to his father, Jacob, whose name again was changed to Israel, who specifically defined his dream by his reply.
What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?
Of course, we know they later did in Egypt, and as in typology, all Yeshua's Jewish brethren will one day bow down again.
This time to the real Jesus.
So the woman in verse 1 of chapter 12 is Israel. And then there is a gap of time, verse 2.
Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth.
So again, people assume this is Jesus, except, and this is very important to know, the original Greek says she has travail or labor in the womb and cries in distress.
So the word child is not in the original Greek.
Correct. But she, which is Israel, is in distress, like labor pains. So we know it's during the tribulation, because labor pains is one of those idiomatic Hebraic roots expressions referring to the tribulation, also called Jacob's trouble. This is another example of why having even just a little knowledge of our Jewish roots, it's just so important.
Similar to the expression, in that day.
Right, and we just taught about that October 13th, which is up on our webpage. The good news is that these labor pains do produce a birth, actually a new born-again birth of salvation to all of Israel after much labor, most likely occurring as a result from the war of Ezekiel 38, because in verse 23 of Ezekiel 38 it says, then they will know that I am their Lord.
And repeats it in Ezekiel 39:22.
Yes, so now you must set aside those first two verses of information as we look at another theater, so to speak, as John in verse 3 sees another wonder of the dragon, who is always Satan, and John uses the same description of the coming beast that rises out of the sea in chapter 13.
Well, we know that to be the Antichrist.
Yes, and the Vatican's crest, it has a dragon right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I know. It sure does.
Anyway, onward. Now is when we see the child, which is Jesus, in verse 4, after we get the dragon's origin and that he took a third of the other angels with him. we read that it was his intention to kill Israel's baby Jesus as soon as it was born.
And we know he tried using Herod.
Mm-hmm. Now, verse 5 describes her male child as one who will one day rule with a rod of iron, another idiom for scepter, and who was caught up to God and his throne. Two important facts in this verse, and that are often misapplied. We as his queen will have power to rule over the nations, but it is Jesus alone himself, not us, as some claim, who has the rod of iron, or the scepter, which means the ruling one, and is king. You can read about that in Psalms 2, Revelation 2, and Revelation 19, which confirms that only the Son has the scepter, or rod of iron. Now, the next fact was there a previous quick ascent? Now, the word is harpazo, which means quick. And so did he quickly go up to the Father before his well-known later gradual ascension for all those present to see? Absolutely, yes. And this knowledge is obvious to those who study Hebraic roots. And I shared this with you when we examined the spring feasts. And you probably recall in John 20, verse 17, when Mary Magdalene was crying at Jesus' tomb, and then Jesus appeared to her but told her not to touch him because he hadn't ascended to the Father yet, inferring that he was about to. So he told her, go forth and tell his brethren that he was about to ascend to the Father, so to completely fulfill all the requirements of the Feast of First Fruits, where the priest was secluded with no food for 3 days and could not be touched until he would wave the first fruits of barley before the Lord in the temple at the morning oblation, which is prayers, which was at 9 a.m. So Jesus, being the first fruits of the resurrection, had to appear before his Father's temple in heaven to be the wave offering and completely fulfill the Feast of First Fruits, Leviticus 23. That's why she couldn't touch him yet. Now we know he was caught up quickly by the Greek word harpazo and returned shortly thereafter, for he was seen later that night by his disciples. And in verse 27, he even told Thomas he could now touch him. So Revelation 12, verse 5 is not our rapture, as some say. And we are definitely not the male child, which is always a term or idiom for Jesus. So moving on, and again this is important, between verses 5 and 6 is a time gap for the church age of around 2,000 years. We also see a gap in Isaiah 9:6 and also in 9 of Daniel 9:26. So picking it up in verse 6, I got to talk fast, we now see the woman fleeing into the wilderness for the last half of the tribulation. We'll see that referenced again in verse 14. Verses 7 through 12 reveals Satan no longer has any access to heaven as he pursues the woman Israel, verse 13, who, by this time, has the testimony of Jesus Christ. But God interrupts the dragon's chase with an earthquake, praise God. Verse 16, as Israel continues fleeing into the wilderness for their safety till the last half or end of the tribulation. Whew, now that's a quick summary, and those of you who do study will want to listen to it again on our webpage, where you can pause it, replay it, and chew on it too, till it all comes together. You might also have some questions. Get them to us, and we'll address them next week. Now I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And my goodness, I hope you have the blood of Jesus running through your heart. If not, you're running out of time. Repent for your sins and ask him to be your Lord. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.